this looks very similar to like a 90s movie. I think the movie Fight Club.
Yeah.
But what's crazy isn't how dirty this place is, or I mean, that is crazy. But so let me ask you this question, Andrew, you know, just speculation here, but what about this property is $605,000 worth to you based on just this information we're seeing?
Location, location, location. That's it. That was gross. And that's not very common to see stuff like that.
So this next one is going to be a little bit more fun as far as, you know, keep your mind open. We're going to go on a journey real quick. If you're driving, don't look down at your phone and watch any videos we play, particularly this one. You'll see why.
I have no idea what you're about to bring up.
Exactly. Exactly. He doesn't know. He's out of the loop on this one, but I know he's going to enjoy it. I went on Reddit and I found a lot of real estate things that were, you know, the most popular. And I found a lot of things that we can get content on and talk about. Would you be this thorough? Watch. Would you be this thorough when you're searching a property?
Right at the end.
You find something like this.
This here.
Oh, that's weird.
We've dug it out a little bit here now. But if we lift the tarp up. There it is.
Got gloves on. She's outfitted.
Oh, God. Okay.
So there's a tunnel.
Then you see this.
Oh, shit.
Like, would you keep going? I would.
Hell no, dude.
I'm like not buying this property just because I don't want to go figure out what's happening in here, you know?
Yeah, hell no. With those lights like that flickering underground, hell no. I would not go in.
Yeah, this seems super sketch.
Unless I'm armed, and even then, who would want to go in there?
Three balls, two strikes, pressure is on. This is where we discuss real estate, property improvement, and business. Together, we'll strategize on how to win. Welcome to the Full Count.
What's up? We're back. Full Count. I have Chris here. I'm Andrew. We're going to be talking about some real estate and other topics. Hope you all enjoy.
And today, we're going to do things a little bit differently here. We intended to have Nick with us, but he had something come up.
Right.
But what we were originally going to do was I was going to present some things and then have them both discuss different, like their opinions about it, any kind of solutions that they would recommend. Obviously, we try to fit within our niche, real estate, baseball. We kind of fit into those two things. Full Count's the name. And it's all about pressure and making the right decisions when you're under fire.
Right.
And that's why in the business world, in the sports world, those two things are so aligned. There's so many sports analogies inside of a conference room for a reason. You have a team that you're working with. Unless you're playing basketball, you know, you need to rely on more than one person. But anyways, I wanted to have it a little bit more lighthearted this time around instead of throwing a bunch of like charts and graphs, come from the consumer perspective. And so Andrew has no idea what he's about to look at, but I think it's going to be fun to get his reaction to things from a realtor's perspective. A little bit about me. My name's Chris. If you guys have been watching for a while, you would know that. I'm a project manager. I'm about to move to Atlanta. And actually next week from San Diego, I've been here for 14 years. I'm going into the housing market over there. We're about to make an offer. So it'll be cool to share some insights into my experiences with them, which I think we'll get a little bit into today, but probably in the next 2 weeks, we'll get more into. So the first thing I want to share with everybody is it's been making the rounds on the internet. It's in San Diego. It's the place I'm leaving right now. When I saw this, it was absurd to me. And I know a lot about the market around here and how much things cost. So I want to get his perspective on why this is this way, and we'll go into detail on that a little bit. So this is the famous Redfin post that's been making the rounds. One of our co-hosts, Sway, says this looks very similar to like a 90s movie. I think the movie Fight Club.
Yeah.
But what's crazy isn't how dirty this place is, or I mean, that is crazy, but what's interesting to people, this isn't just like outsiders from the Midwest looking in and going, why does it cost this much? This is me. I live probably like a mile away from this at the most. And I go, would I really spend $605,000 on two beds, one bath, 726 square feet? Now, from a San Diego perspective, I'm going to show you something that's very unique about this property. It's got a backyard. That's not a common thing in San Diego for most people to have a backyard. That's the one thing that really sticks out to me of being like unique about it, other than how nasty it is. But looking at this property, a lot of times you would say, all right, $605,000. The only way somebody would pay this is if they plan, they're planning on ripping down. But I don't know if you make a good investment on this footprint. I mean, well, it is a pretty big lot, 2,613 square feet. Now,
did you say that's a big lot? That's a small lot.
26. Well, I mean, for San Diego in the city, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because this is more like, this is like North Park area.
Okay. Yeah. North Park. Okay. Everything's like very tight.
Yeah. And, you know, perfect place to be in your 30s, late 20s, 30s to early 40s.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people love that area. I for one, don't, I'm not a huge fan of it for whatever reason.
Actually, it's Normal Heights, which is right next to North Park. Same thing. But this was actually sold. And I think it was sold.
Oh, it's in escrow.
On March 7th. So this went viral last week. And I wonder if that had anything to do with it being scooped up on March 7th, right? So
when you say viral really quick, from a realtor's perspective, what do you, as a consumer yourself, what do you mean by viral? It went viral.
Well, I mean viral because first I saw it on, I think I saw it on Reddit at one point, and then I saw it on TikTok with someone actually filming inside and walking through and making, it was like going, making the rounds on the internet, right?
Oh, wow. They actually went in there and walked around.
Yeah. And so it, like I said, it went viral on the internet. And so let me ask you this question, Andrew, you know, just speculation here, but what about this property is $605,000 worth to you based on just this information we're seeing?
Location, location, location. That's it.
But right away. Would you rip it down or are you trying to refurb this?
You know, it really just depends because this is my first time actually like seeing it here. And there's a lot more details that we would need to have a further outlook of whether it's a good investment to tear it down or leave it as is, which I don't even see how you can really leave it as is in a way. I mean, there's, it looks like there's been a lot of mold there. It looks disgusting, but I mean, you'd be surprised what developers can do or just people that go in there, take out all the drywall, put new insulation, remove everything basically to the studs. But it, what it comes down to is like what it's zoned for. So this is a single family home from what I'm seeing here. If you can build a duplex, triplex, fourplex, and if you can go higher, then it's worth every penny for 605. Because at that point you would tear it down and do multiple units on that lot, right? Or building. So with that in mind, I think it's probably worth it. But if you're trying to save it, I don't really see how you could really want to save that necessarily. Do you by chance know how much the properties are going for right now for a house of that size by chance?
Okay. So if this house didn't look like this on the inside,
that's how much would it be?
That's what it's worth. For sure. I mean, maybe actually more. I would
put it's worth more.
I would put it at like maybe a mil. If this thing is clean on the inside, maybe a mil, easy, right? Maybe 1.1. I mean, that's what I would guess. I mean, this is a luxury to be in this area, so that is a good point. Now, let me give you a scenario.
The structure looks okay on the exterior, but the interior looks horrific.
Exactly.
Like in the scenario.
So here's my scenario. All right. So, and I'm going to flip through the pictures while I say this. Oh my God. Look at this. So imagine this scenario. I come to you. We've never met before. I come to you in your office and I say, look, I got this property. My grandpa passed away. And this is what it looks like. All right. My first question, and I'm going to ask you both the questions, then I want you to answer them. But my first question is, would you ever refuse to do anything like to sell any property like this? And then my second question, it really strikes me when I go to this picture. I know there's only so much you can do, but if you're selling this place, don't you at least address this? Like, this is a simple rip this thing off, whatever this blind is.
Right.
Rip this off, make it somewhat better, but it seems like there's been no prep to sell this at all. And maybe, is that a metaphor? There's a third question now. Is that a metaphor for how, you know, easy sellers have it today? I'll put it that way.
Right. Okay. So your first question is, if you came in and you said this was my grandpa's place and you brought me this business, I would definitely accept and be a listing agent and sell that for you 100%. I would also ask you if your grandpa hypothetically passed away in that home, because that would be very important to know, especially anything extreme happened on that property, we would have to disclose it. But I would definitely take it to. So yes. In terms of the prep, it does not look like they prepped or did anything. However, it appears that they did probably, or they must have removed all findings of any sort inside the property. Furniture, it looks like a hoarder probably lived there. So at least they vacated everything. So that's number one. But they definitely didn't clean it or paint it or do anything to try and make the appeal look a little bit better so it doesn't look so gross, because it does. And that kind of tells me more than likely that the agent is probably, this agent is probably presenting it in a fashion of tearing it down and building something extremely new.
As is, right? And then here's the agent. Shout out, Caroline, if you want to come on here and talk about it.
Actually, I don't think that's her. So Caroline is not her, is not the agent, I don't think, because she's paying for the to be promoted on there. If you can scroll up a little bit. It's actually, scroll down.
Oh,
it's
Kimberly Schwartz.
Kimberly Schwartz at Judson Real Estate.
And then we should probably
hit her up.
Well, I guess this is public, so I was going to say blur this out. But
she probably wants to be known. So, I mean.
Yeah.
And mind you, everyone who's listening and watching, I have not done any. I'm an agent, as you know, Andrew. I have not done any research on the property in terms of knowing exactly what's going on with the zoning and what property prices are like in the in that particular area. But going off of what you're showing me here, those are my thoughts.
And I'm going to get into the subject a little bit later, but man, I feel like the seller should be giving up a little bit more to the buyer, you know, because the buyer is doing the work, in my opinion. But so in my opinion, it doesn't really mean much. So just keep that in mind.
I think it does a little bit.
But I'm just the consumer. My perspective is the consumer perspective. So, you know, obviously we'll get in a little bit more on percentages and stuff later. But Kimberly Schwartz, if you want to come on and talk about it, we would love to have you. It's a hostile free environment here. We just like to have a good time and talk about real estate and baseball. About this home, fixer upper, cash only, great location. I mean, look at these demands. Cash only.
Cash only? Oh, I didn't even see that.
Look at these demands.
It's definitely a teardown, dude, because you can't get a loan for that.
Okay.
All right. More than likely. I would say 90% likely.
Shared driveway in an easement and detached one car garage has shared wall with neighbor's garage. So, anyways, we've kind of went over this one. Interesting stuff in the comments. Talk about this one. Let us know what you think. Wouldn't you bring this up a little bit before you sold it to get some extra money? Or maybe it's too far gone. Maybe there was a murder that happened. Maybe they just got to rip it down. Maybe there's some kind of mold issue. Who knows?
Looks like a mold issue for sure. I did read on there about the detached garage is shared with another neighbor. So that's probably something that can be saved. Otherwise, you'd have to talk to the neighbor about tearing that down. So it looks like you probably want to keep the garage. But in any case, that was gross. And that's not very common to see stuff like that.
So this next one is going to be a little bit more fun as far as, you know, keep your mind open. We're going to go on a journey real quick. If you're driving, don't look down at your phone and watch any videos we play, particularly this one. You'll see why.
I have no idea what you're about to bring up.
Exactly. He doesn't know. He's out of the loop on this one, but I know he's going to enjoy it. I went on Reddit and I found a lot of real estate things that were, you know, the most popular, and I found a lot of things that we can get content on and talk about. So without further ado, this one. So this individual was about to make an offer and they found something under the house. Okay.
Under the house.
Yep. So they're walking around the property.
For privacy reasons, I don't want to show the house, but this outbuilding, I think the secret room is under there.
Secret room.
This is 2.5 acres.
Like Blair Witch style.
Gorgeous property.
Blair Witch project for sure.
You're doing this for no reason.
You better not freaking scare me with something popping up and I go like that.
No, this isn't a 90s prank.
This is what it looks like. So basically, we checked out this property a couple different times. And
would you be this thorough? Watch. Would you be this thorough when you're searching a property?
Right at the end.
You find something like this.
This here.
Oh, that's weird.
We've dug it out a little bit here now, but if we lift the tarp up, there it is.
Got gloves on. She's outfitted.
Oh, God. Okay.
So there's a tunnel.
Okay.
There's definitely a tunnel of some sort. And at first, I was thinking,
here we go.
Is this not on the
Holy crap, dude.
So she's getting in there. She's getting in there.
I hope she's wearing a mask of some sort.
She's got gloves on and protective gear. She's got a pooper scooper or a trash picker up or to probably get rid of the spider webs.
Holy shit. It has a...
Then you see this. And by the way, there's a perfectly logical reason for why this is happening, and I'll explain it. I found it in the...
Oh, shit.
Like, would you keep going? I would.
Hell no, dude.
I'm like not buying this property just because I don't want to go figure out what's happening in here, you know?
Yeah, hell no. With those lights like that flickering underground, hell no, I would not go in.
Yeah, this seems super sketch.
Unless I'm armed, and even then, who would want to go in there?
Other way? Oh.
All right. Oh, so.
Wow.
All right, so let me tell you what it is. Actually, how about this? Do you want to guess what's happening in here?
What's happening in there right now?
Outlet.
What's the purpose of the room?
So it looks like that's not California, number one. It looks like it's in the middle of
nowhere. And there's water?
Somewhere. I have no idea. But there was that detached unit of some sort that she first showed. It looked like whatever it is. I don't know. Underground, this must be something from back in the day that is to be secretive. So either maybe during the time of the, what do you call it? During the alcohol phase when alcohol
prohibition.
Prohibition or an escape room, or there's some sketchy ass shit that happened and people were prisoners down there, or something to do with I have no idea. You tell me, dude. I'm just throwing things out there.
You were pretty close. It's a grow operation.
Ah,
the light's just flickering because it's like base, you know, it's old, you know, but it's a grow operation. And man,
grow as in marijuana?
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, that's so much of a better explanation than it being like a psychopath, you know, basically like some Hannibal style stuff.
It looked like it.
Yep. All right, so that's number two. Do you have any comments on that one?
Well, you did ask me if I was out there to buy something, would I be that thorough? And the answer is 100%. Not only myself, but you would want to hire like an inspector to go do all that stuff, because you want to see, like she said, 2 acres. So you want to see the property line, and you want to go to the edges of the property line to see exactly what's there, what's maybe not be as observant when you're on the property itself with the structure. You want to walk the entire property and hire someone to do that. So very good on that lady for doing that. Maybe not herself, but actually finding out what's there.
Now, how far would you have gone into there before you said, I want nothing to do with this project?
I would have stopped. Oh, nothing to do with that project?
Yeah, like I'm talking about, you know how she donned her PPE, personal protective equipment, and then like went in and then started crawling through there. You're not doing all that.
Right.
Right?
No, I'm not doing all that. No, if I'm with my client, say you're my client and we're walking, and all I would do is open that tarp and that's it. And I would say, okay, now we need to hire someone and we need to ask the seller, what the hell is this, before we even get the person we hire to go down there, because we're not going to put that person's life at risk. So the answer is I would have just opened the tarp and that's absolutely it.
So without knowing any details about what actually went down, it seems like the person that was trying to buy it, they shouldn't have been the first one to discover it.
They shouldn't?
Yeah, they should not have been the first one.
No, hell no.
Right. No.
And the seller should tell you what's there too. So, I mean, or the agent should at least try to.
All right. So let's move on to the next one. This is a question from Reddit that I find really interesting, and I wanted to hear your take on it. But basically, the gist of the argument is any other service you pay for, you get, right? They estimate everything they're doing. And they say it's going to cost me, for instance, a lawyer when they're preparing for a case. They will have to like have investigators. So they'll charge them per hour. Everything is detailed and documented. This is why everything costs this much. But for realtors, regardless of how hard they work or how easy it is, it's always a percentage.
Right.
And the argument here is, and I'll read it. It says, can any agent explain to me why we pay a percentage of our home sales price? Yes, I am biased because I believe the model of paying 6% on your home's value for the work agents do is ridiculous. Combined with the extremely minimal training required in most states to become a license. But I genuinely would like to hear some opinions on why anyone thinks this makes sense to pay this way. House A is $500,000. Perfect neighborhood, perfect schools, perfect house layout that everyone wants. It is going to take literally no work and we'll have multiple offers the first weekend. On the other hand, you have house B. That's kind of like that Redfin one, right? 250K, weird area, strange layout, outdated, going to be a hard sell. We'll probably sit for a long time, probably end up doing multiple open houses. Can anyone explain why the agent of house A gets paid 2 times the amount of the agent for house B when they had to do significantly less work? So, Andrew, why this percentage makes sense for realtors? Is there anything that maybe this individual is missing?
I was rereading a phrase that she had mentioned. I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
The whole question?
No, your question.
Can you explain? There's obviously something that this person asking the question, a throwaway account, of course, is missing some information. Can you explain why they're maybe what they're missing?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like explain why you get a percentage instead of why you get instead of a flat fee. And I think for me as a consumer, I think about, you know, a flat fee, and I'm just going to answer what I think is an appropriate answer. You know, there was a realtor that took me out to dinner. I didn't really actually like this realtor though. I didn't go do business with him. He paid for dinner, right?
Yeah.
And so he lost money on me. And that's just one thing, but there's a lot of realtors who'll go do groundwork and then the person doesn't end up buying anything from them. Maybe not now, maybe not ever. And so all that time they just spent was wasted. Now I would say just
right.
An outside view, that's that one example of why a percentage I think is at least appropriate, but you go ahead.
So the person that's asking that question, it's a valid question. I mean, it's something that's been discussed and talked about where, for example, sellers may not be paying buyer commission anymore. They still have the option, but sometime later this year, they may not have to. Now who's going to pay it? The buyer themselves. In practice, it's normally been the seller. So now the buyer might have to pay, but you know, that's why I think this is conversation has popped up on Reddit, which is an interesting question, but one thing this person is doing is assuming just because a house looks good, is in a good location, there's a lot more behind it in terms of that particular property trying to sell it. Mm-hmm. And she or he even mentioned that it's probably going to get multiple offers, a lot of offers, because the demand's going to be high because it's a great location and it's probably a good house. So you got to find an agent that has the experience to beat out those other offers, because it doesn't always come down to money. It comes down to terms, comes out to a ton of things where you build rapport with the listing agent and you make them comfortable and you present your buyer in the best light possible. Besides the number, it doesn't always come down to the number or the price. And then another thing is, it could have taken that agent, the buyer's agent, and for this particular scenario, it could have taken that buyer's agent months, if not years, to get to that particular home. So there's so much hours that an agent puts just behind one person that the accumulation of hours it takes is so much that's why it requires, or in practice, it shows the percentage of that purchase price. For example, I just did a lease. I was adding up all the hours because that's what I'm starting to do now, adding up all the hours. I spent about 135 hours on this person to get them into a lease. And I think that took about like 3.5 months, right? For this particular one person, I made less than $3,000 on 130 hours. That's about $22 an hour. And I have a lot of experience. I've been doing this 9 years. I use a lot of data. I've driven around with this person many miles. I've taken them out to lunch, like, you know, that agent did with you. I've spent quite a bit of money and a lot of time, and I only got paid less than $2,000 or $3,000. So that kind of tells you, you know, that's why an agent gets a percentage of whatever the sale price is or the lease price is. And that's just one of many examples that I can give you.
So, you know, I've actually had experiences with real, you know, we've talked about this on the podcast before, where when we first had Sway on for the first time and he was talking about how he, you know, he's a salesman, right? And I respect it because it's a position that I would never really feel comfortable with unless I truly believed in the product, which I think he does. And I know you do too. It's very easy to represent real estate in the sense that, you know, it's an asset for the most part that's going to keep going up as long as you're not shady. And you're not, you know, as long as you represent your client, you're going to feel you'll be able to sleep at night, you know, and make good money given, and, you know, hard work and in some cases luck.
Right.
A lot of people don't know that the way, you know, you built your network was door to door, knocking on doors.
Literally. So yep.
All those hours aren't factored into the hours you just calculated. So to me, it makes sense. The model that's currently set up, it's not, no system is perfect, but it seems to be one that's working.
Yeah. Because at the same time, like, if just to add to it, put some more, you know, weight behind it, is that many times you could help a buyer or, yeah, let's just stick to buyers for now. Yeah. You could help a buyer for, like, I spent 2 years on a buyer. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, this is a recent thing that happened. I spent 2 years of my time. I didn't count the hours then, unfortunately. I just started doing this now. I spent 2 years on them driving around. I know I put thousands of miles in it because they were going from LA, from Woodland Hills to Dana Point. And I would, like a madman. Anyways, she didn't end up buying. Mm-hmm. And that was obviously, that hurt, dude. And wow. I know. And that happens. It does happen. And I spent many hours door knocking just to get to this person too, because I was planning to sell her house and also helping her buy. And a lot of times salespeople also, what's really good about salespeople, besides them being an expert in their craft, is they help you feel confident in making that decision, whether it's to buy something, sell something, or to wait. A lot of people need that extra push to actually do something, because most people, you know, they sit on their hands. Majority of people, same thing with me outside of my own, you know, practice of real estate. A lot of people like to feel comfortable and not make that first move. A salesperson that's really good helps you make that first move. And then when you look back in time from the time you made that move, you're very grateful that you invested. And that's the whole goal of a realtor and a salesperson of any, for that matter, for the most part anyways.
Right, right. Good answer, good answer. So I hope we cleared that up. Let me ask you, let's talk about business for a little bit. All right. Now, let's say that you were in charge of a pretty big business and you only had one competitor, right? And you guys were both neck and neck, both doing pretty good. You control the market. There's rarely any other competitions between you two. They're very, I would say open source is the word, but you're very closed source. In fact, some would say you alienate the customers of your competition. Do you think this would be a good strategy, or is this something you would change?
Is it a good strategy if I was in that position with that so type of...
You're leading company A. Company A kind of alienates, kind of does things to separate your customers from your competitors' customers, kind of classes them as their own class.
Got it.
And kind of, you know, in a way disrespects the other customers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you feel like that's something, let's say you stepped in as CEO, would you change that, or is that something you would continue on?
I would definitely change it in a way where they're not boxed in and they can't leave or escape my product or service. Because in the end, there's going to be a mounting pressure against my company that the backlash is probably going to be so bad that A, I might be removed as CEO. My company will go down. My shareholders will get upset, and it'll go under. So one of the most important things of a company is to make the shareholders happy, right? Mm-hmm. And in order to make your shareholders happy, your customer base has to be happy to continue to do business and help your shareholders. So I think that's bad practice in general of whatever the hypothetical situation might be.
Awesome. I love that answer. And I got to say, I set you up because I don't know if anyone listening will know what I'm talking about right now, but Andrew and me were alike in a lot of ways. We basically agree on a lot of things, but there's one thing that separates us.
What's that?
So Apple has done this thing where they basically make it to where whenever he's in a text with me, it turns my text green. It blurs my photos. They're intentionally doing it, right? So we could just, like, I can see his photos and everything. It's all good.
Yeah, I hate it, dude. I hate that.
My text is fine, right?
Yeah.
They intentionally ruin the experiences that Android, that their own users have with Android users.
Yeah.
By the way, my texts look amazing. They don't look like blue or anything. I can have them look however I want. I can put whatever theme or color I want. Whatever Apple does has nothing to do with me. It only ruins the experience for their own users. So I did set you up, Andrew.
Clearly.
And it's because Apple users don't seem to understand that Tim Cook is alienating them from their friends, ruining their friends and their relationships. And I just wanted to point that out for the whole world to see. We're calling you out, Apple. Look, and by the way, I'm saying this on an iMac. I'm just an Android phone user.
Yeah.
I don't hate iMac or Apple, right? I like Apple products. I also like Android and Samsung. But why would you do that to these are your consumers, your supporters. They don't like to see the green bubble.
It's pretty genius of Tim Cook.
Guess who doesn't see the green bubble? Android users.
You're
only making it bad for your own subscribers. That makes no sense.
Right. But now, it gives the ability of you to jump ship and join our team. I think that's what it really comes down to.
Think about that. Like, think about how that's kind of insidious. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that is business. But I thought it was your question. I thought it was a little bit different where the customer couldn't escape.
You can't escape the green bubble.
That's true. I could always leave Apple, but you're right. Who wants to leave Apple and see and be part of the green team? I want to be part of the blue team.
I would make a good case. Yeah. Anyone who doesn't want Tim Cook deciding what apps they have on their phone might want to leave.
Yeah, that's a good question. But doesn't Android do the same thing where they have to choose what goes into their apps?
No.
What goes into their phone?
No. I mean, no? I can make an app right now, make it a .apk, and send it to you. You don't have to get it from our store or anything like that.
Mm, yeah.
So that it's Android is open source, right? So
interesting. I created an app years ago when I was doing, I was in the tech industry before I did real estate, or at least I tried to. And I created an app and I had to go through the whole motion of getting it approved through the App Store. They wanted us to debug a lot of stuff, and we did, and then improve certain things. And then we were able to be on the platform. I didn't know that on Android, you could just launch something right away.
Right. I will say Apple users and Samsung, the phones actually make each other better, because I have a feeling that Apple would be way more restrictive if they didn't have such a top tier competitor, because they do have to worry about people jumping ship. And if you start really digging into their personal lives, people are just going to go Android pretty quickly. Not everyone, but I would say a lot of people our age, males, would be leaving Apple quicker because of that fact, because, people like their privacy. And, Apple has done some good things on the privacy fight too.
Yeah, they've protected their users' privacy from the law enforcement.
But when they were like kicking people off platforms, 2020, 2021, it's kind of concerning to be on Apple at those moments, because you don't know what's going to go down. Could be some Canada stuff. But, I felt pretty secure on Android. And I remember there was some app that got removed. Oh, yeah, it was Parler app. And I was able to go find the APK, put it on my phone. And it was like basically the only way to use Parler at the time. Now, the other argument, and it's kind of unfortunate that happens, but that's why it's good that you have two competitors neck and neck. I'm just saying, don't ruin the experience for your own customers. Nobody likes that. So that's what they should fix. But I'm glad that I reeled you in.
Yeah,
I
you did.
Made you take my position, and then I exposed you. So good times, good times. Next up, I'm going to bring up something that's personal to me, because You know, I have a question about this, and I'm also going to I'm going to tie it into another thing, but so I found out recently that in Atlanta, and I'll share an article about it, but basically a Florida college, what was the name of the college? It is
Florida Institute University. If it's real estate related, I know
Florida Atlantic University.
Okay. Florida Atlantic. They do too. I think they partner. Okay. But anyways,
Florida Atlantic University. So basically I found out that
hold on 1 second. Sorry, I got to redo the stupid thing. My bad. Okay.
Okay, so we'll just start over on it. So the next thing I wanted to share with you is kind of personal to me because I'm moving to Atlanta and I found this article that said that Atlanta had the most overpriced houses in the U.S., right? And it was from a study done by Florida Atlantic University in 2023, and it said that the homes were more than 51%. Are selling for that much more than what they're worth. Now, this is concerning to me because, all right, so there's two things that are, you know, equated here. Does it really matter if they're valued at 51% more than what they're actually worth if people are still going to continue buying? But this gives me a little pause because what if I buy and then the market realizes the value in the next 3 or 4 years and then all of a sudden my property decreases in value for at least 5 to 7 years. And I'm just not even making, you know, I'm just not even putting a hole in what my original investment is. You know, what are some of the things that you could see in a market like that happen that would be bad?
I mean, what you're saying does not sound good, but can you read exactly what they're referring to about it being 50% overpriced?
Yeah.
Essentially.
So
the terminology matters a lot.
So researchers there used a methodology combined with open source data from Zillow and other providers. The data shows that homes in Atlanta are selling for more than 51% more than what they're worth. Now, the average listing price was $357,000, but the expected home value was only $236,000, the study found.
Okay, that's all. Okay. There's no graph or anything I can like look at? No, huh?
Let's see.
Expected price.
Let's see. I think there actually is a link to data. I don't know why it gave me this graph. Oh, here we go.
I don't see anything.
You don't see anything on your screen?
I mean, I see Florida Atlantic University on
Fox. Oh, okay. 5. I think it's because I clicked on another link. So let me re-present. Yeah, I guess when you go like click the link on the page. So here's a graph. Top 100 using U.S. housing markets premium discount. What does this mean? 42.39%. Does that mean that that's a positive number?
Click on it. Click or no, on the drop down above the graph right there. Hit it on Atlanta so I can take a look at it.
Did it update for you?
Yep. So the premium price. So I did a video on. I spoke about this graph about a year and a half ago. Not this graph, but for Los Angeles, Orange County. And I did a. I geeked out, dude, on a bunch of numbers. And it was really fucking cool. Go check it out, Andrew Vargas Real Estate. You'll see it on there. But anyways.
By the way, I promised everybody no graphs this episode. And
I know what the hell, dude. You just bore everybody.
I lied to you.
This is a good topic. So that line is the average price based on the Zestimate home price. I'm trying to look if there's a legend, but anyways, versus the premium. The premium is 42%. The expected price versus the from a year ago. That's from a year ago though, no?
date 3. This year. January 31st.
Oh, okay. That's December. They have the dates mixed up like we're in a different country or something. But anyways.
This is January 31st.
So the first thing you want to ask yourself, like your agent out there, is does my home fall in the average home price of Atlanta? If it does, then that would cause more gray for concern in terms of what this is expressing here on the graph and what you're, you know, pointing out from that one article. But if the Atlanta home is not part of the average home price, then, you know, there's a different scale. It's a different scale completely. So it just really depends, because there could be a home worth, for example, $100,000, and then there could be a home worth, I don't know, $10 million. So that's the range, right? Mm-hmm. And the average is going to be kind of like weighted from the $100,000 to the $10 million. So it's better to use median price, because it'll go right down the middle. It'll be more equal in terms of the weight. Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be better if it was in a particular price bracket of a shorter range than using all statistics on the average home price for that month.
You know, one of the reasons I saw on like Google AI for the reason of this, it was like the top reason was national inflation. Obviously, that's national is the key word there. Mm-hmm. Does that mean maybe the housing market is pillars made of sand? Or, I mean, not California area. We know what's going on here. It's not going down. I mean, it might go down a little bit, but not for very long. It'll be like a year and it's going right back up. But
right.
For a lot of other cities, does it mean nationally the inflation, or is inflation just going to keep going up? So who cares? Why should we even worry about it?
Mm-hmm. It's like Boise, Idaho had that problem. It blew up during, mm-hmm. you know, that time. And then prices did fall. And I think they're still kind of down. But Atlanta is more of a bigger base of a city that I think it'll probably pop back up. So I don't think you should be too concerned. But what I would do if I were you, I would ask your realtor to run numbers, do some stats, and mm-hmm. see what the year-to-year growth was during the, you know, a couple years ago and then from 2008, and see how it fluctuated in price. That way mm-hmm. you can see if something else happens, will it go down and for how long? See how much the trajectory of the home values in that given region has been going up, or if it really gets impacted by the economy, either flattens out or falls. I think that would make you feel a little bit better at night, especially
right
if you're to invest. And also see, like, is there development going on? Is there more restaurants being built there? Are there mm-hmm. universities there? Is the infrastructure growing? If it's not, if you see everything stalemate, then it might not be a good investment.
Right. And then next thing I wanted to talk about, and I'm going to also give, first I'm going to quiz Andrew after I show this, but then I'm going
to
give everybody.
Can you tell the audience, are you excited about going to Atlanta? I mean, you're leaving San Diego. Like,
yeah.
How do you feel, dude?
You know,
what advice can you give to people that are going to be leaving their estate, their state, you know, so comfortable?
The only word for it is really just bittersweet, because, you know, today I'm walking around and just, I've been here for so long and just, you know, walking around on a nice, beautiful day outside. And, you know, at the same time, we all know what, you know, California also brings with it, which is there's always like trash, you know, in the streets. And look, I'm sure in Atlanta, we're going to have that too, but
you're probably a little bit,
you know, but for me, the main thing is like, I'm really looking forward to having a backyard without my house looking like that Redfin place. You know, a backyard is just going to be an amazing thing for us, and three bedrooms for what we basically the same price we pay now, in a condo. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that. You know, I have a really good job lined up, career lined up, and I'm leaving a good one here, a good team, and I'm going to another good team.
You sound so sad.
Well, like I said, I'm bittersweet because I'm very optimistic. Like when I'm on the plane, I'm going to be taking a couple shots and just like leaving this life behind me. You know what I mean? And, you know, we have our whole future ahead of us basically, but saying goodbye to a family, you know, saying goodbye to your family, like your biological family, is not a big deal, because you're going to see them November and Christmas, you know, but saying goodbye to a team that you work with, that type of family, you may never see these people again. And so that kind of bugs me a little bit.
So you fall for, I shouldn't say fall for it, but you are under that mindset that your work people are your family. You know how, like, you know, that was a big thing in like on social media, like when bosses are telling you that your work colleagues are your family, treat this like this is your family. But then the whole controversy was like, yeah, but they end up axing you whenever the hell they want. So are they really your family?
You know, that's a good point. And I think a lot of people have bosses like that. But, you know, my boss, the VP of our company, he never said we're a family. But I will tell you that he acted like family.
That's even better. Yeah. Because they say when they tell you that we're a family and they constantly tell their employees, that's usually a red flag to run. But who knows? I don't know. I'm just...
You know, people throw the phrase around a lot of, you know, giving respect but also demanding it. I don't know if he ever demanded respect, but he did give respect to a point to where you felt like you were expected to return it. And he taught me some very important lessons, which are like one time, you know, we were in kind of the same compound as the DEA at the time, and we were moving closer to a Navy base, right? And when we moved there, typically around any shipyard area is a bad part of town. We moved there. There was a burglary that happened and I was in charge and I definitely took it personal when there was a burglary. And like, I'm just going to sum it up to be very short. Right. But, when I initially had told him about it, he was like, all right, so what are we doing about it? I'm like, we got police reports, you know, this is all the things we're doing about it. And then like 3 weeks later, we kind of had basically this whole situation ended up not being a bad thing in the end. We were taken care of. But I told him, I was like, man, I'm so happy you didn't come down on me because I was already taking it so bad. Right. And he told me, it's not about the problem. It's about what you do in response to it. And I think a lot of people would have came down on me because I was the one to come down on at the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
He didn't. And I will say that's the type of stuff I'm going to miss. But like I said, I found a great team that I'm going to. So I'm equally happy about that. But right now, kind of in my phase where I'm leaving it behind. And then next week, I'm going to be happy with the people I'm around. You know?
Right.
So yeah, that's kind of tough. But anyways, you know, we have a lot of good things in front of us. And I have a lot of good things behind me. And so yeah, I'm you know, so it's bittersweet. Right, I'll put it that way.
Are you still going to be rocking the Padre hat out there?
Oh, absolutely. I'm not wearing a freaking Braves hat. Are you kidding me?
I mean, they're a much better team. Let's be honest. In terms of, like, their performance is going to be way better.
I mean, we all know I'm probably going to have to be a Dodgers fan for the next 2 years, but...
Yeah, tell Sway, you got to be rocking the Dodger hat now.
Here's the truth. The worst thing that could happen to the Braves is if I put on a Braves cap, because that's when they're going to start losing, you know? So, but look, I'm a Saints fan, right? I've been my whole life. So when they finally win a Super Bowl, it's a big deal. They're the Atlanta Falcons fans. And they're traditionally just a very sad organization. They've been, you know, 28-3, if anybody knows what that is. So they've got their humility in there. But so yeah, let's move on to the next one. Those are some good questions. You got me in the feels a little bit. Had to think about it.
Yeah, he looked a little sad, dude. If anyone's watching, he looks a little teary-eyed.
Yeah, man. You had to take me there, right? Hey, that's what we do on Full Count. We have real moments. The next one I want to talk about is, it's kind of a it's something that I'm worried about. Except now that I know this, I'm not worried about it. I've already checked it out. I've already looked into it because I saw this. This is the first thing I did, was look into it for myself. Sorry. Present. All right. Bought my house a few months ago. Woke up to this. This is a flooded out backyard.
Shit. That looks bad.
Now,
because it's just sitting there. The water's just like chilling on the corner there.
right?
Yeah.
And this is not good. Obviously, mold, all kinds of things can happen because of this. What is something that a buyer can do to know if this is going to happen to them?
So in California, because I'm only licensed here right now, but I might get licensed in Florida, FY. But in California, I can only speak to the, what I know right now. But basically, it's called an NHD report, natural hazard disclosure statement, that you pay for during the escrow period. And they're supposed to tell you any environmental potential issues that makes your property, not just your property, the structure, but the land where the lot sits, any potential threat to that land, essentially. And it exposes everything for you. And that's why it's very important you pay for that and you read it and you follow up with questions if you have any before you buy. It seems like either they missed that or they just said the hell with it and they didn't, they, you know, ended up buying it. And that's kind of where they're stuck now.
Right.
So, NHD report. Take a look at that.
Wait. Tell you everything. Hold on. Don't even worry about that, guys, because I'm going to teach Andrew and everybody else here something new today.
Teach us.
FEMA. So if FEMA. You go on FEMA, they have a resource.
Oh, you can do it.
FEMA Flood Map Service Center, search by address. You can type in your address and it'll show you where the flood zones are.
That's a good one. Sometimes a city itself will even have a partnership with FEMA and you can go through them and then it'll kind of show you this as well. But this is good overall. I like this, Chris. I'm glad you brought this up. This gives you an overall probably idea of what the floods areas like, but mm-hmm. I believe the NHD report goes a bit further because mm-hmm. it provides everything, like literally everything that you can think of. It's in there and it's very precise and gives a ton of information. I could not speak exactly to what the FEMA does, but it looks pretty good to me from what I see here. But NHD report, get it, NHD.
Okay, but if you're not in California,
but I mean, I feel like that's in practice everywhere around the country, but I might be wrong. So in the meantime, do what Chris is saying here. Get the FEMA website.
Right. And I know someone who's really spiritual. They tell me it's good to have your front house, the front of your house facing north or east. Keep that in mind. If you're into that sort of thing. I am.
You're into that? I'm trying to think where my house looks. I think it looks north. Yeah, it's north.
It's got to. You're doing great in life.
No. I mean, I'm doing fine, but Whoa.
We're about to have another teary-eyed man on this podcast.
I mean, I'd like to do better, but yeah, I mean, I think mine faces north. But anyways, I don't know anything about that stuff in terms of what's good, what's bad, in terms of spirituality. But all I knew is when I bought my place, I just didn't want the sun to directly hit it the entire time. You know how mm-hmm. it rises on the east, sets on the west.
Right.
That's the only reason. But besides that, I don't know.
All right. So I think this might be the last thing we talk about today. This is something that now terrifies me about buying a house.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
Just buy a property. Okay. Like, I understand you're concerned about certain things.
All right.
At the end of the day, you just got to bookmark it, dude, and just buy it. Okay.
Okay. All right,
so and I'm not saying buy anything. I'm just saying make the move and buy.
All right, so let me ask you this question. How, and look, let's be productive about this. This is not, I'm not trying to slam you or anything, but
I mean, you enjoy it. You enjoy it.
I do enjoy it, but I'm trying to be productive here. So so what if I just bought it, right? What can I do to prevent this? All right. Just close on a house. Guy found out that basically there was a flipper and
yeah,
the flipper noticed there's mold on this wood and they just put this cheap laminate on top of it. How are you finding this out? How could we identify this? Now, obviously, this person is going to be subject to a lot of legal issues in the future, but how are you going to find this one out?
Great question. Very great question. I actually heard a story similar to this, but it was the actual walls, not the flooring, where they put like an extra layer of drywall, painted it, and there was a bunch of mold behind that wall. And obviously not good. They had to strip the entire house to the studs and redo it. But anyways, to prevent something like that, a home inspector will maybe catch that. You also mm-hmm. want someone to come in there, and it could be the home inspector, the general one instead as well. But they go in there and they use this type of device. It's like a gun, and they scan the walls and the floors to see if there's any heat on the map that shows that there was a moisture present or there was in the past. And then at that point, when they scan the floor here, it would show up on their device. And at that point, as a buyer, you want to ask the seller, hey, or the flipper, what's going on here? And, you know, at that point, you would need to either get an answer or you would ask that you remove part of the floor to see what's underneath it. And then at the same time, flippers also, for the most part, should, but not always, get permits. And if they were going to get a permit on this, they got to get it passed by the city, and the city might catch something like this to prevent this. That's why permits are required in most cases. And that is my best advice to anybody looking to buy. Prevent this by doing your homework.
You know, this type of stuff has to be disclosed. They can test this and tell how old it is, you know, and, you know, it's never really makes you feel better to go, oh, great, I can spend the next 6 to 12 months in legal fees and stuff resolving this issue. And hopefully, you know, this person has to,
right,
you know, make it right, make it whole again. But, you know, that's a hard thing for people who just bought a property is to like have to go to court now. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not.
And listen, a buyer's agent that isn't experienced or isn't good quality, an agent, this is why agents get paid, especially long term, get mm-hmm. paid well, because they can help advise you take these steps so you don't face these type of issues with something like that. I mean, it looked great there, right? I mean, the place looks wonderful, but an agent will point something out and be like, hey, we got to mm-hmm. do all our inspections. So I have a question for you, Chris. On a scale mm-hmm. of 1 to 10, how concerned are you buying a place? Like, what's going through your mind? Give us your perspective as someone that's going to buy their first property. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling with the process?
I would say that for me, I'm more of a person who just wants to get it over with. And that's kind of a problem, but
you want to rip the Band-Aid off and just done.
You know, I feel for me, we had to get to a point with our realtor where we kind of tricked him a little bit because we knew what we wanted to spend. We knew what our range was, and we kind of knew the area we wanted to be in. And so he kept, it seemed like he kept trying to go outside of the area we were comfortable in.
That's interesting and strange.
And mainly the price range was what it was. So what we did to kind of alleviate that was we only had one of our credit scores run and our income and all that. And that limited how much we could buy. And once we did that, he kind of backed off on going outside of our range.
Interesting. So he didn't have you guys get pre-approved first before you guys started looking.
No, I wouldn't say he did that. I mean, and look, the guy definitely knows his stuff. I mean, when he does a walkthrough, because we're doing this across the country.
Right. Can I point something out to the audience? Mm-hmm. I have not given Chris any real estate advice necessarily. I mean, here and there, but Chris hasn't asked me for help, which is surprising. I'm his friend. I have all this experience, and he doesn't even bother to ask me a question.
I mean, it's not really true. I ask you questions all the time.
I know. Well, a little bit.
No, we do ask you questions. At the same time, though,
about buying, though, buying.
You know, if you were there,
I got to put you in the hot seat now.
No. I'm saying if you were there, you'd be our realtor. But I actually don't really want to employ my friends if they're not going to, like, you know, make any money off it. It's a waste of their time, in my opinion. But
it's very noble of you, like that.
Because, you know, there's always the nutritionist, right? Who all their friends say, hey, make me a meal plan. And obviously there's a lot of education they had to learn to get to the point to where they could do that. And right. So it's like,
well, the only reason why I bring it up is I like people to have the best experience buying a home, especially if it's their first one, in general, because I want them to appreciate agents in the industry and not have that bad taste in their mouth that it mm-hmm. didn't, you know, that they didn't really like their agent. I had to do all these tricks to, not all, but I had to do this strategy to get them to help mm-hmm. me in a certain way that I want. It would have been more, I could have helped you essentially not have to do that by essentially talking to your agent a certain way or finding an agent that would be in the zone and put you in that point of a home search that you wanted. And then maybe if they have enough information to ask the right questions as a salesperson, they could ask, they could, you know, send you homes a little bit above the budget because of an actual reason for it. Not just because they want you to put you in a higher price bracket, but maybe they have an actual, you know, reason for it.
You know, well, one thing for us, I'll tell you, that has been really tricky is, and this is something you couldn't have helped me with, I don't think. I mean, you would have noticed the way, the same way we found out about it, but it's some of the neighborhoods are the beginning of gentrification, which can actually be quite dangerous. Meaning
there's hood, like, maps, hood maps. Remember hood maps?
Yeah. But I'm saying this is the early stages though. And what I mean is there'll be like this dangerous neighborhood, and inside of it is this one beautiful, crazy, like amazing house. And you look at it and you go, there's no way this house is in a neighborhood where people have something to lose or nothing to lose. And then you can just go on Google Streets and go around and you go, whoa, you're going to be a target in this area, right?
Right, right.
So we were battling that. And then we're also battling, I feel like it's important to find a realtor who has almost the same interests as you, or at least can relate to you in some way, because I do feel like, you know, our realtor is trying really hard. And, but in his, I feel like his values are, let's be in a prestigious neighborhood. When our values were, let's be in a safe neighborhood, we don't really care that it's prestigious or anything like that. Right. We want to be relatively close to our daily lives. And then we want a big backyard. That was kind of like, those are our criteria. And then we need to have three bedrooms.
Under, those are your must.
Three bedrooms over 2,000 square feet. We don't want four bedrooms, 2,000 square feet. We don't want a closed space with more rooms. But a lot of other things were negotiable for us. And we ended up finding everything we wanted, except there was this new thing that came up, which I think we're going to be fine with. But it is, our backyard is huge, but it's on the other side of our fence, to the side of the fence of the backyard is a road. And for a lot of people, that's a no-go. I don't know why, really. For me, I mean, right now, if you live downtown somewhere, there's a road. So there's no getting around a road. For me, coming from downtown, you know, San Diego area, it's like, wait, really? A road is a no-go for you? Because it's, there's millions of people who disagree with you on that. But
yeah, every home has the particular buyer for that particular home. Like that one house you shared with me. Mm-hmm. I mean, someone might see that nastiness, be like, that's my house.
No, I don't. I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one. There's no one thinking
that. I'm just effing with you. But
well, actually, you're probably right. I mean, there's a lot of people. We talked about this
three episodes ago.
There's a lot of encampments who were down for that place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the road thing wasn't a big deal to me. You know, obviously, I started researching, how can we drown out the noise? You know, there's water solutions, you know, like making a waterfall and things like that, you know, and then soundproofing, maybe vinyl instead of wood panel fencing. You know, for me, that would be fine. We'll put a hot tub back there. It's going to be great. But
that is cool.
But that is something we have to worry about when we're trying to resell it. So
yeah, 100%.
We do have to consider, you know, people complaining, like people saying to us, oh my God, there's a road next to it. It's going to be terrible. But
The rule of 72. Rule of 72, check the average price increase of appreciation on that home per year in the last 5-7 years, and even go further back.
I think there's a big problem, though, because like the house was built in 2005.
Can I say what the rule of 72 is? It just shows whatever your percentage of growth is per like the average, then the rule of 72 will show how long it'll take for your house to double in value.
Anyways, let me give you the specs, because I don't know what it was originally sold for in 2005, but I do know in 2019 it was purchased, or sorry, 2017, it was purchased for $400,000. It was listed at 675. I think we might get them down to 610. Okay. Now, the rule of 72, does it really mean anything if we had this crazy 2020 pandemic situation where the properties exploded? Was it throwing all out of whack?
It does, because this is what you do. You start at 2019 and go back, whatever that price average growth was from that time period. You use that percentage versus 2020 to 2024. You don't use that one, or you get a range in between, and then you kind of average on average. It's something I like to do on spreadsheets, but you don't want to use, you want to use the normalcy times, which was before 2020. So that's right. What I would use. I would use what it was in
2020. But there's only one sale before 2020. That's the problem.
One sale?
Yeah.
In that entire area.
No. Oh, you're talking about the whole area. I thought you were talking about the place that I'm looking
at. No. I mean, you can't really use.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're using statistics, you need to have a sample size that's more than 30, usually. So it's just, I'm just geeking out on statistics. But anyways, I'm glad that you did that, and it's going to work out, hopefully. Are you guys still searching other property just in case? Because you just never know. Okay.
We are, but this is the one that we found that has the most things we like about it. And the good thing is I do have someone that I know that lives right next to that place.
Nice. And
so I've gotten a lot of good intel from him.
Good. Qualitative data. There you go. We were talking quantitative. Now exactly. We're talking qualitative.
Yep. Qualitative is like, good. It's like green, yellow, red. Quantitative is numbers.
Correct.
All right, guys. Well, I think we'll wrap it up here. We're trying to do a shorter episode, but it ended up.
I know. What the hell, dude?
Yeah. Ended up being a long one. I mean, that's good. I think that just means it's been a good conversation for everybody. Yeah. Shout out to Sway and Nick. Hope you feel better.
Yeah. Nick, we hope you feel better, dude.
And Kurt, welcome. Kurt to the team. What we should do is really track Kurt and Sway's predictions, see if the fan beats the player. I'm kind of biased. I'm team fan, but I like Kurt a lot. Kurt's a great guy.
Because he's a professional baseball player, for those that don't know. And he's still playing professionally, and so he's the pro, and Sway's the fan. So you're going more for you're trying to root more on Sway's side.
Yeah, but that being said, Sway's a Dodgers fan, so maybe
not. Yeah. No, that's good. This was a good one. We'll have more coming up. I hope everybody found this valuable. And if you did, like, comment, subscribe, share this with everyone that's interested in real estate. Because Chris and I, we cover real estate and cool subjects, and Sway and Kurt cover baseball primarily. And sometimes we'll blend it in together when we'll all be on together. And I forgot about Nick, but Nick can jump on with us again soon, and we'll see where it goes.
All right. Until next time.
Thank you.